I thought it would be appropriate on the occasion of deity installation to hear what our founder Acharya has to say about deity worship. Is that a nice idea? So there are several places that there's very lengthy, detailed descriptions, and one of them is so long I won't have time to read it all. It's from 7th Canto, Chapter 5, where Prahlad Maharaj speaks to his dear demoniac father about the processes of devotional service. Essentially, Hiranyakashipu wants to know from his son what's the best thing you've learned, and he tells him what the best thing he's learned is: devotional service. Not in the Asura Kula, but from Narada. And the process of Archana is in that series of nine processes. Archana is preceded by the initial ones. Normally we speak of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, as the essential foundation for the practice, the beginning, the practice of devotional service. And gradually, by in sequence, that process of hearing and chanting, it cleanses consciousness. The natural spiritual state of consciousness of the soul becomes revived and restored and cleansed, so that a natural state of remembrance of Krishna comes. And that remembrance of Krishna, along with hearing and chanting, flows into the other processes. That means the other processes, they're also accompanied by hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. So the one that precedes the deity worship is Padasevana. And what Prabhupada writes about Padasevana is very interesting. It's not that only the goddess of fortune is eligible. She worships the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But Prabhupada speaks of, in this, it's a small section in Canto 7, of going to places of pilgrimage. Your padasevanam, your padas go to the place of pilgrimage. And there you engage in hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. And then naturally comes archanam. It comes naturally. It's not something that comes after. It doesn't come before. Very strong foundation in hearing and chanting. Just like how our founder Acharya established deity worship when he came to the West. Not how he began with deity worship. He began with hearing and chanting. And lots of prasadam too. Hearing and chanting and feasting and philosophy. These four pillars. And then the course of time, I very clearly recall, in the beginning there wasn't deities. It was Panchatattva painting. Prabhupada found devotees that had some modest amount of art training, in some cases zero art training experience. He just asked them if they would like to paint, and they wanted to do whatever Prabhupada wanted them to do, so they started painting. And he was one of the paintings that he wished to be made many copies of was the Panchatattva painting. So he called, or at least within ISKCON, it became Guru Gauranga altar. Little picture of Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta and Panchatattva, and that was our deity worship. Worshipping of a painting, which many of you may also have in your home, some photo of Radha Madan Mohan, or some deity that you particularly have attraction for, and you worship in your home and make offerings on that altar. Then in course of time, this deity worship process may come. So I'll just read, the number of pages on deity worship, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 full pages. just on deity worship. Some I can read five full pages, but some parts of it. One of the long parts is, it's like Nectar Devotion. He just lists the items of seva in deity worship, as we have in Nectar Devotion. And he quotes from Skanda Purana, if you make one of those offenses against the deity worship, then according to Skanda Purana, you should read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. According to Skanda Purana, according to what Prabhupada writes here. So, here's Prabhupada's purport to Archanam. After Padasevanam comes the process of Archanam, worship of the deity. If one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. There are many books for Archana, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana or deity worship. There are two systems of Archana, the Bhagavata system and the Pancharatriki system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship because in the age of Kali, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering, and worship of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then he quotes from Rupa Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj attained salvation simply by hearing. Goes through the nine processes and who achieved perfection through each one of those nine processes. All these great devotees served the Lord according to a particular process, but every one of them attained salvation and became eligible to return home, back to Godhead. It is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple, especially for householder devotees who are opulent in material possessions. The path of deity worship is strongly recommended. An opulent householder who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a bad name, called a miser. One should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. If one does not personally worship the deity but engages paid servants instead, he is considered another bad name. Lazy. And his worship of the deity is called by another bad name. Artificial. Miser, lazy, artificial. An opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently for householder devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. In our Krishna consciousness movement, there are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. Not too many vanaprasthas, but the other three, some. Lots of householders. Near extinct brahmacharya species. But the deity worship in the temple should be performed especially by the householders. The brahmacharyas can go with the sannyasis to preach, and the vanaprasthas should prepare themselves for the next status of renounced life, sannyas. Grihastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore if they do not take to deity worship, another bad name, their falling down is positively assured. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Generally, householders have children. Funny thing about that. And then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in a nursery school. Paragraph. Grihastha devotees must adopt the Archana Vidhi, or deity worship, according to the suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there's the following statement in the Agni Purana. Any householder devotee. Circumstantially unable to worship the deity must at least see the deity worship, and in this way he may achieve success also. Special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. Grihastha devotees should actually be examples of cleanliness. Paragraph. Deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word Namaha. In all the mantras, there are specific potencies of which the grihastha devotees must take advantage. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha, but if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the result of chanting Namaha many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of God. One might ask, then, what is the necessity of being initiated? Some people do ask that question. The answer is that even though the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Consequently, special stress is given to the archana vidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavata process and the Pancharatiki process. Then he goes on with the rules, long list, 2 pages, 2.5 pages. If one commits any of the above offenses, one must read at least 1 chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is confirmed as Kanda Purana, Avanti Kanda. Similarly, there is also another injunction stating that one who reads the 1,000 names of Vishnu can be released from all offenses. In the same Skanda Purana, Reva Kanda, it is said, the one who recites the prayers to Tulsi or sows Tulsi seed is also freed from all offenses. Similarly, one who worships the Shalagram Shila can also be relieved of all offenses. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that one who worships Lord Vishnu, whose 4 hands bear conch disc, lotus, and club, can be relieved from all the above offenses. In the Adi Varaha Purana, it is said that a worshipper who has committed offenses may fast for 1 day at the holy place known as Shokarava and then bathe in the Ganges. Paragraph. In the process of worshipping the deity, it is sometimes enjoined that one worship the deity within his mind. So you don't have to get up from Mangal Arati. You just tend Mangal Arati in your mind and worship your deity in your mind. And that's not what it means. But Prabhupada writes this, Prashishthanapura, one old Brahmin heard this and he did the puja in his mind and gathered sacred waters from all the sacred rivers and etc., all the paraphernalia for worship. And he did this for years and years. And in his old and infirm stage of life, it wasn't easy to go do all these things. And then the sweet rice story. Put his hand in the sweet rice to see if it was cool enough yet to offer to the deity, and he burned his thumb. So Manasa Puja is for those who can't get out and about. In the second canto, Prabhupada writes of the deity worship process being practical. That is to say, he makes the contrast between practical and theoretical. There's philosophy, there's teachings that we hear. At the same time, with the teachings, there's practical application of the teachings, and the practical application of teachings, one of the expressions of that is deity worship. That deity worship gives us an opportunity to directly, with our senses, serve the senses of the master of the senses. According to Narada Pancharatra, this is the definition of bhakti. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat paratvina nirmalam rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. This word upadhi, the conventional way that we are, at least within ISKCON, we're accustomed to use it, means designations. And Prabhupada would give as example, someone is American, someone is Indian, someone is black, someone is white, someone is male, someone is female. So the label of the body, the designation of body. And those upadis is not what the soul is, or it's not who we are. So sarva upadhi vinir muktam. By freeing oneself from those designations, in a designation-less state, in the position of the servant of Krishna, you serve Krishna. And how do you do that? You use your senses to serve the master of the senses. And deity worship is a very practical application of using the senses to serve the master of the senses. And practically speaking, the same activities that go on in the spiritual world, in one's spiritual form, serving the spiritual form of Krishna, one can practice in this stage through deity worship. But deity worship is always to be accompanied with hearing and chanting. I mean, think about how we do our deity worship program in our temples. Before Mangal Arati, the Puchari is on the altar and reciting different mantras and preparing for the Arati, and then the Arati, and the Arati is offering articles along with kirtan. And then Mangal Arati is over, and then the Pujaris bathe the deity and dress the deity and decorate the deity and ornament the deity and garland the deity, and then we have kirtan. It's, you know, before, during, and after the chanting of the holy name. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, of all the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is chanting, and chanting must accompany, although, as indicated here, the other processes may also deliver perfection, but they should be accompanied with chanting, especially in this age. And he gives his scriptural references to indicate. So, chanting and the worship of the deity. So something that you, when you have a deity in your home, same as in the temple. Some regular offering of the foods that you have. From that time, those who invite deities into their home, it means something. He's now the proprietor and you're the servant of the proprietor. It's Krishna's house or Gornitai's house or Balgopal's house or the deities is presiding. You've invited him. He's now just not just residing, he's presiding. And then we serve him. So those foods that you eat must first be offered to Krishna, or to your deity, just as in the temple. So also in your home, whatever it is that the family members eat. Therefore, it must be something that is offerable. And the procedure of offering is to be done when you invite the deity in your home. That's a requirement. And then the chanting. Sometime during the day, for the pleasure of the deity, kirtan. It can be during the arti itself, or just, I'm sure some of our devotees here that like kirtan, they enjoy, and the deity enjoys, just sitting before the deity and singing kirtan. Right? You enjoy? So, and it's service to the deity. It's not musical entertainment. It's service to the deity. That's the consciousness. That's the purpose of the activity, is to develop that loving mood in a very personal way to the form of Krishna or Gornitai. And it lifts and purifies and elevates consciousness. There are a number of ways. Just end with this. There's a number of ways that Prabhupada describes the specific importance of deity worship for grihasthas. But one of the things, one of the specifics is grihasthas have contact with wealth, and some of that wealth should be used for the making a nice arrangement for the deity. And devotees that are including worship in the temple, or some contribution or donation to help in floral decorations or outfits or paraphernalia or the care of the deity, the bhoga offered to the deity, and even participating in preparing some of these things, nice, like you were speaking yesterday about this Mataji that makes nice decorations, and seems like there's invariably somebody in each temple that's really good at that. They make plans way in advance of festivals, but it's nice. So, for a householder that has wealth, to use some of that wealth in the worship of the temple deity, as well as your deity at home. I've just mentioned this other reference is there more than once. Prabhupada speaks that naturally in household life there's male and female contact in household life. It just somehow happens like that. And to apply that physical conception or bodily conception, Prabhupada indicates it's important to elevate that conception to the spiritual platform by worshiping the form of the deity. As he's indicating in this purport, there's in each of the mantras that begin with Namaha or include Namaha, there's special potency. There's special potency in this very process of deity worship, special potency of lifting consciousness from the material plane to the spiritual plane. Again, in our case, to be accompanied by chanting of the holy name. In the purport, Prabhupada addresses the question, well, if the holy name can do all this, then why should there be initiation? And the immediate sentence after that is, the process of archana assists in the process of deity worship. So, initiation specifically in receiving of mantra, Gayatri mantra specifically, in our case, second initiation, but receiving Gayatri mantra, the purpose of that initiation is to assist in the deity worship. For in our temples, without receiving second initiation, which means receiving those mantras, one is not qualified to worship the deity. Let's say it the other way around. Those who receive those mantras and receive second initiation as part of their duty and obligation to serve the deity for the purpose of spiritual elevation, not just to maintain, you know, the schedule in the temple for making sure there's somebody doing different things. That's a managerial issue. The personal issue is for spiritual purification and elevation. It's desirable to come to that stage and desirable to take that position of service. For the worship of Gornatai, it doesn't need to be second initiated when you worship in your home. There was a time in ISKCON history when the devotees, several devotees had this very nice idea of increasing preaching programs by developing traveling bus in India. In fact, they purchased something like 4 Mercedes-Benz buses in Germany and drove them all the way across land to India and started Pandal programs with using them. And Prabhupada was very, very encouraged by their enthusiasm to give Krishna conscious opportunity to others. And they were doing fantastically in distributing books, so he wanted to increase the printing and the translation of his books in different languages in India. So one of the things he said is, you can also take Gornatai deities. And the Gornatai deities can be placed on the table along with the books. That was very interesting. We were pretty astonished. That means that this indicates that Gornatai are very merciful. Gornatai are very merciful. They readily can accept service, especially kirtan. And if there are offenses, that they're more lenient with offenses. We should avoid the offenses, but they're more lenient with offenses. So therefore, commonly in a home where one is not so fixed in all of the necessities of deity worship as the standards in the temple require, worship of Gornatai is very nice, very natural beginning for deity worship. This is a little distracting. So I think I'll just end and see if there's any comments or questions from anyone. And if not, then I think we'll have another kirtan. Yes, Vajrabihari.
Very short comment, but just, I was remembering, I'm sure you remember it, right towards the end of Srila Prabhupada's manifest on here and spoke with us, he said something to the effect that the Pujari is the most fortunate person in the universe. He's personally associated with the Lord.
I'll say something else specific for temple standard of deity worship. Prabhupada said that the consciousness of the devotees that are doing the deity worship affects the entire community. He said it positively and negatively. He said if the consciousness of the devotees that are doing the deity worship in the temple is bad, the whole community will be negatively impacted. I mean, that's not his words, but that was the message. And when the deity worship is going on very nicely, and there's it's nice, clean, punctual, and devotional standard on the altar, the whole community will flourish. So, those that have deity worship have a very important service to do for the well-being of the entire devotee community. Very important service. And that means, as in some cases, devotee congregation members assist in the preparing of the Sunday feast. Do you have that practice here still? So when you go to do that service, be in good consciousness. Be very clean and follow proper standards and whatever instructions you're given by the coordinating person, follow them very carefully, because it affects everybody, not just, you know, whether the food tastes good or not. That's important. But the consciousness that you're in is most important. It's the extension of the altar. It goes on to the cooking, goes on to the altar and offered to the deity. Anything else? So maybe while the offering is going on, you can leave your tongue.